Our scripture reading for today is Romans chapter 2. We began this second chapter a few weeks back. I'll be focusing in on verse number 7, although I will be making reference to verses 6 and 8 as well. But I'm going to read the entire chapter of 29 verses. Hear now the word of the Lord, Romans chapter number 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcised keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is inward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. May God bless us with his truth today. You may be seated. I think I am correct in saying that non-believers would give many different reasons for why they do not like to read and study the unique and only written word of God, the Holy Bible, for themselves. Just as I think I am correct in saying that they would give many similar or different reasons for why they have no desire or interest to hear the word of God, hopefully opened up accurately through the public preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now, they would disagree with me when I would exhort them to face the truth that they are not good reasons and are therefore not profitable to their never-dying souls, but they would be reasons that their sin-darkened, devil-blinded souls will use to justify the folly of not wanting to read and study the Bible for themselves or hear it publicly preached and held forth. Never asking the ultimate author of the Bible, God the Holy Spirit, to open up the truth of the Word of God to the benefit and blessing of their spiritually dead hearts. May none hearing the Word of God preached today be in such a depraved and dangerous spiritual condition. And may the Lord be pleased to move upon the hearts of the many you may know who are in this wretched condition, and bring them to the point where they can pray, and hopefully you can pray as well with the psalmist out of Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And the most wondrous thing is being enabled to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one willing and able to make guilty and vile sinners who flee to Him alone through God's sovereign gifts of repentance and faith are made acceptable in the sight of the eternal Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because of His finished work of penal substitution for those believing on Him alone for acceptance with God. But in order for the renewed and regenerate soul of someone for whom Christ died to see this glorious gospel message, for the glorious good news that it is and always will be, the truth of man's truly wretched condition, his truly wretched condition in rebellion and sin against the living Lord God of the Scriptures needs to be clearly seen. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil will labor to get both believer and non-believer to think that they are capable, without the sovereign, gracious, and merciful help of God, to do that which is a true impossibility, that is, to make themselves right with God through something they do. Unless the Lord has sovereign mercy on the non-believer, the world, the flesh, and the devil will be successful in keeping him blinded to the truth of the saving gospel seen clearly in the number who have no desire to read, study, and believe the biblical gospel for themselves. And trying to trip up a true believer into foolishly thinking he has had some part to play in his or her eternal salvation is something that the world, the flesh, and the devil will seek to deceive a true blood-bought believer into thinking, as he is confronted with all the false philosophies, as you're confronted with all the false religions of men that reject and deny the biblical gospel, the penal substitutionary death of Christ for His sinful people from every tribe and people and language and tongue, the only way of acceptance with God, in the face of all the teachings of men that reject this idea, this gospel truth, which is one of the reasons Paul labors for three chapters. Which is one of the reasons that Paul labors for three chapters. Chapters showing in meticulous detail why the saving gospel of Christ is sinner man's only hope of acceptance with God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Truth Paul shows in a different way in the verse I will focus on this morning, verse 7. Making reference to verses 6 and 8 as well. Believer, remember something. All the world religions of men are examples of man foolishly and dangerously thinking that he is capable on his own of making himself right with God, the idol he calls God, through something he has done or thinks he can do. This is why biblical Christianity is not a world religion. And to call biblical Christianity a world religion denies its uniqueness, because the biblical gospel is the only message given by God whereby we must be saved. The biblical gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, according to the scriptures alone, is not one message among many whereby we must be saved. It is the only message of salvation given by God whereby those for whom Christ died are saved. And anyone who takes the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for granted, or treats it as just another system of belief in an ocean of other beliefs, has not seen it correctly. The saving gospel of God is not one message among many whereby we may be saved. It is the only message of God whereby his people are saved. Anyone who dislikes or rejects this is clearly showing that they have not seen the biblical and saving gospel of God with the renewed eyes of saving faith. And anyone not filled with wonder and amazement and thanksgiving to God for believing it has not seen it correctly. When John Newton wrote "Amazing Grace," he meant what he wrote. He meant what he wrote, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." How many sing that, enjoy singing it, but don't believe it? When John Newton wrote that wonderful hymn, he meant what he wrote, because he had come to see himself and God correctly by that amazing free and sovereign grace, which is something, unless reborn by the Spirit of God, that the non-believer is both unwilling and unable to do. He doesn't want to face his true condition in sin unless the Lord God is pleased to deliver him from it, and he displays his truly wretched condition in sin in a number of sobering ways. Ways that Paul has been declaring in this section of Romans that I return your attention to again today. For what does Paul declare back in Romans 1 verse 16? He declares that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why is he not ashamed of it? Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. And why do true believers in God live by faith in the truth that the righteousness that God alone accepts is found in the person and finished work of his only begotten and beloved Son? Because of something that Paul declares God is revealing from heaven. Because all men, apart from the free and saving grace of God, reject and rebel against this glorious truth. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Every non-believer in the saving gospel of God holds the truth of God and the saving gospel of God in some unrighteous and wicked way, refusing to see and confess that Christ Jesus alone is the Savior of the world. And what follows verse 18 is Paul describing in meticulous detail how fallen sinner man displays the truth of his holding the truth that God has been pleased to reveal in unrighteousness, in wrong and soul dangerous and damning ways, in the various ways he continues to do so unless set free by God from their suppression of the truth by God's amazing and free grace. Paul wanted the believers in Rome to see, and God the Holy Spirit wants all true believers throughout time to see, since what Paul wrote to believers in Rome is a part of the unique and only written word of God, the Holy Bible. But believer, God wants you to see with crystal clear clarity why the saving gospel you believe, which I hope you do, is the only answer to how any sinful man is made right with God. For although I am a number of weeks away from this verse in the good providence of the Lord, how does Paul bring this section of exposing the universal need of all mankind for the gospel in Romans 3, just five verses? one of which I've already quoted, and many believers have committed this verse to memory to challenge someone who thinks that they can do enough to make themselves fit to meet God without Christ. The first of these five verses summarizes the purpose of this section I've been in for a number of weeks, verses 20 to 24 of Romans 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For what has Paul been doing in the verses leading up to this glorious declaration of the free justification of God through the finished work of Christ for his sinful people, showing you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, true of all mankind except for the only Savior of lost sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ? Seen in the various ways that men display their true wretched and lost condition in sin that Paul has been showing. Which is one of the reasons that the unregenerate non-believer uses to justify his not reading the Bible and not wanting to hear it preached on. He doesn't want to face himself. He doesn't want to face himself as correctly revealed by the Bible. He doesn't want to see himself revealed as someone who has been given over to a reprobate mind, because of his not wanting to retain the knowledge of God in his mind. With the result, his mind will be full of and filled with what? The 22 things, the 22 not convenient things that Paul lists at the end of chapter 1. 22 things not convenient to him or anyone else, and certainly not glorifying to God. Unbelieving sinner man does not want to face that his ability to see these sins in others does not exempt him from being judged by God for his committing of them. And refusing to face that his greatest need is to flee to Christ in repentance and faith, even as he judges others for their committing of them, as seen in the hypocritical Pharisees, who did not want to face the truth that Jesus was exposing about them, their soul-destroying hypocrisy and non-soul-saving self-righteousness. Truth seen in how many popular but lost conservative talk show hosts who are able to see and expose the sins of others, the sins that are destroying the United States of America, but they have not fled in true repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation only found in him. Sinner man doesn't want to face the truth that God's amazing displays of goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering towards him are not an evidence that he is not a sinner who needs to repent and believe the gospel, but that God is giving him time to face and repent of the number of ways he has misused and misread these amazing displays of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering towards him. Why do I need to repent? Why do I need to repent and believe the gospel? Look at how God has blessed my life. Yes, that's true. But have you given the Lord God the praise and the thanks that he alone is due for all the good things he has poured out into your life and is continuing to do so if you're still breathing? Oh, how many don't see that their constant lack of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, is a reason for their needing to repent and believe the gospel. For the depth, the breadth, and the height of their lack of thanksgiving and praise to God for all that he has blessed them with, which is everything. Oh, how many unbelievers do not want to face the truth that they're not going to be judged by the Lord on the basis of what someone else they see as a truly wicked sinner has done. I'm not as bad as And you can fill that blank in with how many people. I'm not as bad as they give the name of someone they see as a really great sinner. Therefore, I am all set with God. Oh, the last thing the unbelieving sinner wants to hear and face is the verse I ended at last Sunday, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Anyone who thinks that they are all set with God, that they have nothing to worry about with respect to meeting the living Lord God of the Bible because they are able to think of someone more sinful or wicked than they are still dead in trespasses and sins. Plus, how are they able to make such a judgment? For they are not wholly omniscient like the Lord God is. For it is not what someone else has done that should concern you or them in light of the coming day of judgment that no one will miss. It is the truth that all they have thought, all they have said, all they have done that has not measured up to the holiness and righteousness of God will condemn them. Remember, believer, the plowing of the wicked is sin because it is not done to the glory of God, the reason for all that is or ever will be. And to bring this home truth to the souls of those wanting to have the true wretched condition of man's sin-cursed soul exposed, Paul declares something that should show to anyone who sees man's condition in sin correctly, that the saving gospel that Paul was not ashamed of is sinner man's only hope of acceptance with God, regardless of who that person is, especially those who incorrectly and dangerously think that they're flawed, faithless keeping of the law of God, or their flawed and faithless keeping of their inadequate moral code means they do not have to fear meeting God, where the exact opposite is the case. Why do I say this? Because of what Paul writes in verse 7 of Romans 2. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Oh, how sin has warped the ability of man to see God and himself correctly. Not only seen in taking pleasure in the things that should fill him with shame and the fear of meeting God. Not only seen in misreading what their ability to see sin in others but not themselves exposes them as the unsaved hypocrites they are. Not only seen in misreading God's causing his sun to shine on them and his rain to fall on them, thinking that that means they do not need to repent and believe the saving gospel. Not only seen by not facing the fact that they are not going to be judged on the basis of what someone else has done, but also by the fact that they refuse to face what the holiness and righteousness of God requires for them if they want to foolishly think God gave his law as the means or way sinner man can make himself right and acceptable to God. A total denial of the saving gospel of Christ. For Paul is not saying in verse 7 that there is a way of acceptance with God outside the saving gospel of Christ. For in the midst of showing why the saving gospel of God is mankind's only hope, God is not now introducing law keeping as a means of acceptance with God, because if he was doing this, he would be contradicting the verses I quoted earlier from Romans 3, as well as Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, Psalms Paul will use and quote from as well in Romans 3. For a Holy Spirit-guided man, as Paul was, writing to the churches under that infallible and inerrant inspiration, does not and cannot contradict himself or the rest of the Bible. If Paul was introducing a way of acceptance with God outside the saving gospel of Christ, he would not only be denying the saving gospel of God, he declares in verse 16 of the opening chapter of this letter to the Romans that he was not ashamed of, but he would be contradicting what he wrote to the believers in Galatia. who were being dangerously misled by false teachers teaching that acceptance with God, that a right standing with God, is through the keeping of the law. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. For what is the purpose of the law, according to Galatians 3:24? Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And what does Paul say is the condition of everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law, Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So Paul in Romans chapter 2 verse 7 is not introducing a new way of obtaining eternal life instead of in place of personal saving faith in the saving gospel of God alone. No! He is declaring and dare I say he is laying the groundwork, he is laying the foundation to expose the folly of both Gentile and Jew, but especially the unbelieving Jew who taught and believed that their flawed and inadequate keeping of the law was their way of acceptance with God. And who can measure the number of ways that man in sin misuses and misunderstands the purpose of the law of God? For how many incorrectly face the truth that they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Oh, they don't mock or reject this reality. They know that there's a coming day of judgment come. They expect it. But they face this truth with foolish lack of fear and true saving faith because they base their ability to do so not on what Christ alone could have done and did for his sinful people, but on what they think they have done that will make them meet to meet God without Christ. Despite what Paul declares in verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Sinner man, you who can so easily see sin in others but not yourself. Sinner man, you who are misreading the goodness of God towards you. Sinner man, you who think that you're all set to meet God because of what you have done. Have you heard what Paul declares? Is the only way this could be possible something you have not done? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Well-doing as defined by the Lord God in his word and is expounded on by the Lord Jesus Christ in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Not your flawed and false views of what continuing in well-doing means. Oh, I never kicked a cat. I helped little old ladies across the street. I continued in well-doing. Have you been patiently seeking for glory and honor and immortality when you've been driving on the interstate and someone cuts you off? Not because they were out to injure themselves or you, but because they're just as fallible as you are. But oh, what thoughts come into your mind. Oh, what words cross your lips if you're the only one driving in the car. But you were angry at them without just cause. Because you do not know with infallible certainty why they cut you off. Maybe they had just received bad news on their hands-free smartphone. Someone they loved had just died and they got it in the car. Don't rush over what Paul says in verse 7 to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality in eternal life. Not imperfect and flawed continuance. Patient continuance, every thought, every word, every deed unto the glory of God alone and the good of others according to his word. Dying to self out of your love for God and love for your fellow man. Friends, there is only one who perfectly, continued in well-doing, in thought, in word, and in deed. The Lord Jesus Christ, and believing on him alone for acceptance with God is the only way to eternal life, not your flawed, not patient, continuing in well-doing. Paul is not introducing the subject of sanctification here in verse 7. That is, how to live for the Lord in this verse. That comes in Romans 12 and following. After he has meticulously laid out that the salvation of a lost, imperfect, rebellious sinner is all of the free and sovereign grace and mercy of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of the amazing grace and mercy that he has shown to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. A believer presents his body, his new life in Christ, to be used of the Lord as he sees fit, not as a means of earning eternal life, but because you have eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Yes, there are lost sinners manifesting their lostness by glorying in the things that they should be ashamed of and repent. But there are also lost sinners who refuse to face how inadequate their inadequate keeping of the law is for their being accepted by God. You want to gain acceptance with God through the keeping of the law? Then hear what Paul says. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Notice patient continuance, the adherence to a course of action despite difficulties and the constant assaults of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You want to gain eternal life and acceptance with God through the keeping of the law? Face the impossibility of it and flee to Christ Jesus alone. Something the Pharisees refused to do, which is why they redefined what the law meant so that they could foolishly claim they have kept it and were worthy of eternal life. Oh, you don't think you've committed adultery. Have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her in your heart? Patient continuance and endurance in keeping all written on your conscience or in God's written word. Are grumbling, are complaining, are coveting, are envying, are lusting, are lying, are stealing, are gossiping, displays of a patient continuing in well-doing? No! Then law-keeping is forever impossible as the way to eternal life, regardless of how popular it is, as seen in the soul-destroying religions of lost men. Oh Lord, if thou were to mark my iniquities in thought, in word, and in deed, I could not stand accepted in thy sight. I need to face the truth that eternal life by law-keeping is forever blocked to me. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner who has not been steadfast in well-doing, definitely not before I was saved and definitely not after. Oh, how truly blind are those who think that their flawed and inadequate law-keeping means they don't have to fear meeting God in final judgment. This, as I said, was the problem of the law redefining, law distorting Pharisees. Why was Paul able to boast while a lost Pharisee, as he recounts in Philippians 3, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless? Because in his blind, proud, incorrect, Pharisaical misinterpretation of the law, he actually thought he had kept it perfectly. Why do you think Jesus so offended the lost Pharisees? Because he exposed what they did not want to face, that all their righteousnesses were as filthy rags. Because all they did could not measure up to the holiness, the righteousness, and the glory of God. Notice Paul says patient continuance in well-doing, not sporadic well-doing.
Well-doing is defined by the word of God, not what the Pharisees were expert at redefining, so they could dangerously fool themselves into thinking they kept it and therefore did not need to flee to Christ alone for acceptance with God. How many deceive themselves and mislead others by saying no one is perfect, denying the Lord Jesus Christ because he is perfect in thought, word, and deed, so that he can be the one and only Savior of his imperfect people. But how many people say no one is perfect? And by saying this, they think they don't need to fear meeting God in their imperfection. Even as Paul declares, patient continuance in well-doing is the only way of obtaining eternal life without Christ. But since no one has continued steadfastly in well-doing 24/7 for their entire life except Christ, anyone who thinks that acceptance with God is through their flawed law-keeping is still a lost, blind sinner. May God have mercy on them before they meet him all unprepared to do so. Oh, Paul, you are not introducing a way to be saved or an evidence of sanctification in the middle of your exposing the futility of the law as the way of acceptance with God. No, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because you know the true saving belief in it is sinner man's only hope of acceptance with God, because no naturally born sinner has ever lived a continual life of patient continuance in well-doing. Therefore, the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is mankind's only hope of acceptance with God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for acceptance with God. Reject this truth and you will be damned. But what truth is left out of the almost Bibles too many are using in the churches today? He that believeth not shall be damned. The last half of Mark 16:16. How many people foolishly tell themselves that everyone is entitled to one sin? What devil-deceived mind came up with that lie? Adam committed one sin, and mankind has been facing the consequences of that one sin for the last 6,000 years and counting of actual time. Uzzah didn't continue in well-doing by having the ark carried on poles but on a cart. So when the cart stumbled, even though he thought he was doing the right thing, he was struck down, even as 30,000 men were praising the Lord around him. And oh, how many get offended at this display of the holiness of the Lord by thinking that he can decide how something is to be done, even though God has declared differently. When you are talking to someone and they say that they believe in God and then proceed to tell you what they have done, they are showing that they do not believe in the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures, who says, "Be ye perfect as I am perfect," not your flawed view of him or yourself. When a person focuses on what they have done or what they think they can do to make themselves right with God rather than Christ alone, face the truth that you are in the presence of a lost religious sinner who is unwilling to face what is required of them for acceptance with God through the keeping of the law, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing. They say they want to go to heaven. I'm seeking glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life, but not on God's terms. Absolute perfection, but their flawed, inadequate keeping of whatever code of conduct they think will make them fit to meet God. Oh, how many incorrectly think that the Lord gave his law as a means of gaining acceptance with God, even meriting or earning salvation, rather than showing the holiness and the righteousness that the Lord God requires is found in Christ alone, who always did those things that pleased his heavenly Father. He obtained eternal life for his sinful people by living his perfectly sinless life, so that he could be their perfect substitutionary Savior. If you want eternal life outside of the finished work of Christ for sinful believing people, face what is required. Patient continuance in well-doing. Face the truth that you have not done this, so eternal life, gaining heaven, even worse, thinking that you can earn heaven through what you have done, is forever barred to you. Paul is not contradicting his Lord and Savior by describing a way of salvation in addition to the saving gospel he faithfully preached. He is showing the impossibility of keeping the law as a way of acceptance with God because, as I said and I repeat, no one but Christ has lived a sinless life of patient continuance in well-doing. Law-keeping has never been the way of gaining heaven, but faith alone in the Savior of the world that God promised to send, as seen by Abel, bringing of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, by Abraham telling his son Isaac, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, by afflicted Job saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Saving faith alone in the Savior of the world who was to come, and saving faith in the Savior of the world who has come and has done what he alone could have done and did for his believing people, saved you, believer, from your sin of not living constantly to the everlasting glory of God. Paul is exposing the impossibility of salvation by works of the law because no one but Christ was perfectly steadfast in doing what Jesus said no one else can say. John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. But oh, how many lost, flawed, law-keeping sinners display the exact characteristics that Paul describes. Such lost sinners display in the face of the truth of the impossibility of acceptance with God through their flawed and inadequate, not patient continuance in well-doing as defined by the word of God, verse 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. How many lost religious sinners show that they're lost religious sinners by not rejoicing and praising the Lord for his glorious saving gospel of acceptance with him through faith alone in the finished work of his only begotten and beloved Son. Let me get this straight, preacher. Are you telling me that what I have done, that what I am doing, all the good things I have done, all the good things I am doing, have no bearing on my acceptance with God? Exactly. For have you done these things absolutely perfectly in thought, word, and deed? No. No one has. That's where you're wrong. There is someone who did, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your only way of acceptance with the living, true, and only God is through the finished work of Christ, believed on by faith alone. But I don't want to believe. I don't want to believe that all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I don't want to believe that I need to repent and believe the saving gospel as much as, if not more, than the wicked sinners I can so easily point my finger at. But then you are not obeying the truth, but rebelling against it. It is a wickedly unrighteous thing to think that your flawed and totally inadequate keeping of the law is your way of acceptance with God. For it means you are saying to God, that the absolutely necessary death of Christ was not needed for you to be accepted by God. In the words of the Apostle Paul, you are seeking to establish your own way of righteousness, rejecting the only way the Lord has provided for guilty sinners to be restored to a right relationship with him, the finished work of his only begotten Son. You are ignorant of God's righteousness and are trying to establish your own righteousness before God and have not submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is what? The end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Unless you repent of this foolish, wrong, and dangerous misuse and misunderstanding in the purpose of the law of God to lead you to your absolute need of Christ, you are exposing yourself to the indignation and wrath of God. Not only are you under the wrath of God for not perfectly keeping the law of God, something you have neither the desire or ability to do because of your sinfulness, but looking to your flawed and inadequate keeping of whatever law you think you are keeping is saying to the Lord God that the greatest work of God in saving lost guilty sinners, that is the finished work of Christ on his cross of penal substitution for his sinful people, was unnecessary. Do you want to stand before God on that great day and say the greatest work he has done in saving guilty sinners, in sending forth his son into this world, was unnecessary? Does the Lord have a right to be angry with every wicked unbeliever in their thinking that what they have done makes them right with God or contribute something to their being made right with God rather than the finished work of Christ alone for those believing on him alone for acceptance with God? Are you? Because you can't mix the flawed and totally inadequate works of man with the glorious finished work of Christ Jesus alone for sinners. Nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Jesus declares that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in the lake of fire. How much of that gnashing of teeth will be the futile and soul-damning gnashing of those angry with God forever for not accepting their totally inadequate works of self-righteousness? Showing that they were trusting in what they thought they could do and not what Christ alone could have done and did for those believing in him alone for acceptance with God today, tomorrow, and forever. Whose work are you trusting in today for acceptance with God? There's only one God accepts. Do you? Let us pray. Oh, Lord our God, we thank you for the clarity of your word and opening our blinded, dead, depraved eyes to see the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see him more wonderfully until we see him as he is. In his wonderful name, amen. Well, let us finish our time now as we take our